In reading where it says, Solomon said, be to us Eloheinu Amanu.
You too.
Which I thought was a real interesting thing, considering Matthew chapter 1.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know which verse it is right now.
I looked through in the text, not in the book here, but in the actual text. And it's, let me see if I can find it. It was, this is the last reading, isn't it?
This is God's promise to him, I think, isn't it? So it'd probably be before.
I can't remember. It was either.
Probably be the prayer part.
Yeah, which is ends at verse 29.
No, this is the
first. Right, it might be verse, like in verse 30 or something.
That's probably what. As I'm going back, it's 53? Well, that's what I thought. It was way down here. No,
he's looking for Eloheinu Imanu.
See, there's a phrase here where Solomon asks him, I believe that's what the phrase is anyway, so I recall, says, be to us Eloheinu Imanu, which is really interesting when you consider Matthew 21, where Jesus is called Immanuel. And, I know it's in there somewhere. You'll probably find it today, right? I haven't been spending as much time in Hebrew lately as I need to, because I've been mainly doing my studying on the bus, and my Greek's a lot easier to carry than VHS. Yeah, I don't see it, but I know it's in there somewhere.
Come across it, we'll remember you. No, 29.
Yeah, so anyway.
Okay, we'll see you, Bob. God bless you. Let's see. Okay, let's continue in lesson 55 here. I should say that, first of all, we'll go ahead. We need to set some dates for our vocab quiz. This will be a shorter one, three chapters this time. So we'll be going from chapter 53 to 55 on this one. So vocab 53 to 55 we'll make next week sometime, which is the best day for you guys. We don't have anything in Greek next week, so any day. Yeah, Wednesday. What, Thursday, everybody like Thursday? We'll put down Thursday. Vocab. And then the grammar will be the following week. Now, what's next Thursday? What's the date? Who's got the calendar? It's March.
7th March.
Okay. And then the grammar will be the 14th then. Make that Thursday the 14th. Grammar and translation. And I'll give you some more details on what we'll have on that next week. Okay, and since we're going to be finishing this lesson 55, well, we'll either get finished or close to finish today. From here on out, we're going to be starting to go from the text and translating. We'll start with Genesis 1, something familiar, and then we'll start taking requests, you know, but at least we'll get in touch different portions throughout the Old Testament. I'd like to get a look at every kind of passage, poetic ones, prophetic ones, and so forth, just to get familiarity with the kinds of things we'll be dealing with. So what we'll want you to bring is bring your snath or some text, you know, bibliobreca, whatever you want to bring, however much exercise you want to get. And starting tomorrow, make that a regular custom to bring that with you. And then I'll just use interlinear or something just to keep tabs on what's going on and so on and so forth, you know. It doesn't really matter if you want to use that too, but I think it'd be better for you just to force yourself. You're going to probably get more out of it if you just look at the text, and then I'll just give you any vocab that you need. Because you've got to have some kind of reference for the vocab. And then we may have, you know, some of you to have lexicons, and you know, maybe John and Eric, one of you, grab some lexicons so that if I need you to look up something, you know, to get some detail on it or something, we can do that. So we'll just go through and... Yeah. Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, one with Ksenius and one with one Brown Driver. Do we have Brown Driver and Briggs in here?
No. David is a scholar and Strong. It seems like Ksenius and Strong and David take sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
Kind of a, they
Yeah, that's kind of what I'd like. Yeah, that'd be good to get some different opinions on it. Uh-huh. Well, we'll try to do that, try to get some view on, broader view on it. In some instances, it might be even good to have a Rotherham or something to see how he translates something, because, we can't put a lot of confidence in the internet or in Green, in some cases where we may not be fully familiar with what's happening. In other words, not so much in Genesis, it's probably not going to be too much of a problem because we're pretty familiar with it. Once we get into something in the middle of historical books or something where we find some words that we haven't seen before or that kind of thing, we may want to consult some other translations. But that's what we'll be doing. Now, as far as quizzes go, these last two, of course, will cover Landon. But from there on out, we're essentially going to be having translation-type tests. And so what we'll do is, as we cover various portions in translation, make sure that you're getting down the translation of that so that you know. You don't necessarily have to write it out, but at least have it someplace because you'll be responsible then. What I'll say is, well, say we cover Genesis chapters, first six chapters of Genesis or something. Maybe not that much of a chunk, but, at least four or five chapters or something along those lines. I'll just say we're going to have a quiz such and such a time. You'll be responsible for that section. And I won't give you the whole four chapters. I'll just give you certain select sections of it to translate and figure what you can do in the hour, reasonably. But you'll have to be responsible for all of it. So that's the kind of way it'll be done. Okay. We left. Yeah, I'll tell you ahead of time which ones you're going to be responsible for in the test. But they'll be ones that we've gone through in class.
I mean, as we're doing in class, we're going to kind of go day by day.
Yeah, we'll just kind of go day by day, and we can look ahead. If some of you want to look ahead, is that what you're looking at? Is that, there won't be so much an assignment per se. We'll just be doing it in class. This is more of an exercise in class. So I'm not really anticipating wanting you to go and figure it all out ahead of time and then come in like you do with these exercises. I'd rather do it kind of as we go in class, just because that's the kind of the real life exercise of things. That's the way things are going to be done. So I'm not expecting you should be able, as far as your reading, you'll probably be able to read about the same as to read the Hebrew about the same, because unless you did that at home and practice it ahead of time anyway. But as far as the translating. Of necessity, there's no way I'm expecting you to know the vocabulary in a lot of these things. We just haven't stressed that anyway. But it'll be interesting to see how much you can pick up anyway. And then when you get stuck, just ask, and we'll give you the vocab for it. And then we'll just be sometimes picking apart a verse and asking questions as to why this or that, why while consecutive here, why, watching for the clause relationships and pointing out things. And feel free, as you notice something, if I don't mention it or something, ask questions about it just like you have been. And if you notice something that you think it ought to be pointed out, would be, feel free to do that.
So we're just going to kind of all go through it together. You mm-hmm. have these passages and passages and passages.
No, I'm not going to even have it written out. I'm just going to use the interlinear, just as a basic, We may make some modifications to what the interlinear says, just based on our knowledge of it, but I'm not going to be, writing something out ahead of time like I have on these. Yeah, I think so. I think it's more of an exercise type of thing, and it's kind of the fruit of all of your labors, that type of thing. It's the icing on the cake, as it were. And it's a time I always look forward to. It's the most fun part of Hebrew, I think. So, we'll start on that maybe today, and if not that, tomorrow. Okay. We left off at verse 29. I think we finished verse 29, according to my marker, and we're up to verse 30. Anybody remember who was next? Somebody got saved by the bell. I can't remember who. Eric?
You know, I read it before. I read number 30 before I finished on my mind.
Okay.
We did 29.
Good 29.
Supposed to read number 30.
Okay, well, we'll let you go ahead and read number 30, regardless of whether you're supposed to or not.
Yeah, that would be right. So, well, she did 29.
No, Larry.
Shamata el tukina, abadeha, amnoka, Israel, asher, yithalilu.
Yeah, yithalilu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you will listen for the supplication of your servant, and your people Israel, who will pray, who they will. Oh,
yeah, which they will pray. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
The supplication which they will pray.
Which they will pray for this place, and now you will listen. No, it says, and you will listen.
Yes, and you will listen.
Yeah. For this place. For this place, your dwelling.
Yeah, just toward the place of your dwelling. There's not a this on this one. There was a this on the earlier this place.
That's right. For the place of your dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why it's Shvada.
Yeah, it's a construct.
And you will listen or hear and forgive. And you will forgive.
Okay, you will hear and forgive. Okay, good. Yeah, and you will listen, or you might even continue this in an almost an imperative mode from what went before. So you could either have, and you will listen, or, and listen to the, you know, as part of a petition, and listen to the supplication of your servant and your people Israel, which they have, which they shall pray toward this place, and you shall listen toward the place of your dwelling in heaven or toward heaven, and you shall hear and forgive. Yes.
Can we put it in a being a command, but more of a may you.
May this happen. Back up in verse 28, we did that.
Yeah, it's converted perfect there.
Yeah.
And so it's based on that kind of a can't be on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds funny that he would be praying in a sense of you will listen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not really that. I think we started a mode back up in verse 28, and we were translating there, may you do this. And you get sort of a modal type of sense of the imperfect, but because you've gotten a petition type of sense to it, may you turn toward the prayer of your people and so forth. And now, if you pick that up in verse 30, may you listen to the supplication of your servant, and which they shall pray, and may you listen toward the place of your dwelling in heaven, and may you hear and forgive. That's kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. All converted perfects. Okay, now we skip quite a few verses down to verse 44.
Question,
yes.
I'm going to have to share in verse
30?
Yeah, it's right there. After,
Israel.
Yeah, Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, why is the way you got it is not
a supplication. Yeah. Well,
why is that? Could it not also modify Israel?
It could modify Israel, except that the very next verb here, which they shall pray, you see, which your people Israel, which they shall pray, the verb there has as its subject Israel. And having as its subject Israel, that makes the asher, it must need to refer to something else. You see, otherwise, you wouldn't need an asher there at all. If it was just Israel that was doing the praying, then it'd just be Israel prays, you know. But it's the supplication which they shall pray, you know. The asher is kind of representing the object of their prayer. They're praying. Israel, your people Israel are praying something. And the something that they're praying is the thing you're describing is the asher, which.
Well, how would you say it if you didn't want to do it?
If you wanted to say,
your people Israel that shall pray toward this place.
Oh, your people Israel which shall pray. Okay. I'm thinking here that you may have an ambiguity after all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as you want to say with your people, which shall pray. You might set up a whole new clause, yeah, but I guess it could be done this way. I suppose it's just the fact that you have the supplication in the previous context, you know. You've been talking about a supplication, and you normally pray in a supplication, the supplication which they shall pray. I suppose it's more context than anything else. It could fit the other grammatically. The biggest problem is that asher doesn't have any declension or, you know, and it can refer to just about anything, and that's why you're left with some problems there. I think also, probably more likely than not, in a case where you want your people which shall pray, when it's the subject, you usually use a participle there. In other words, your people which shall pray. It's generally a participial type of thing. Now, if you want to get a definite imperfect sense, though, and that's what's happened here, then there may be justification to go ahead and use a finite verb form.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a decision. Well, because of word order, yeah, Asher is coming right on the heels of Israel, so that's probably what made you look at that first. Yeah.
Okay, and
now, is there any justification in the process before reading that so that we have imperative and followed by imperfect? Okay, if we had an imperative, we don't really actually have an imperative form here per se. If you start off with an imperative and then you continue with an imperfect, then you're often doing that. But what we really have here actually is we've got a series that's continuing with converted perfects, and we've broken the series up by having a disjunction here. We put asher first, you know, in the clause. And having done that, we have to use the real value. We have to use a regular imperfect value to continue that sense of the converted perfect, you know. So I think that's the only reason that's happened there, because then when you pick it up again, that's the same kind of thing. You've got...
If you
go back, you can have an imperative and converted perfects, which will continue. It'll be that consecutive idea. Do this, and then this, and then this, and then this.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So it wouldn't be the so that one. Let's see. Yeah, it's further back up. In fact, I don't know. I don't know if we've even got an actual imperative form. See, verse 28 doesn't. That's just a... Okay, it continues the sequence of verse 26. Okay. Yeah, let your word be confirmed. That's a nifal form, and that's just a... It might be adjusted form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let this be done, and that may be the sense you're getting. If it's not actually adjusted form, it's amen. Yeah, that would be adjusted form. Yeah, amen. So that form with the na there in adjusive is giving you that kind of a sense. But you can see it's not quite as... it's not as strong as an imperative.
No,
it's not quite as strong as an imperative. It's more polite, you can see, and the nods are in there and everything. It's let you do this, you see, and it's expressing a wish. I mean, the adjustive, the imperative, the adjustive, and the coordinative all are expressing a wish. But no, let me check here. No. Yeah, it is adjusted because it's let your word be confirmed. So it's a third person there, your word, that he's talking about instead of.
Well, that sequence with the so that.
Okay, if you go back up to 25, Shemor. Okay, let. I almost have to. What you have. Let's see. And now, O Yahweh, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father. Okay, we have the Shemor there. There you have an imperative form. So you can start it really up in verse 25. And now, O Lord, you know, keep for your servant David, and so forth, that which you've. And then what you said, saying to him. So then you have a quotation. And then verse 26 picks up with a Joseph. I guess that really. You have to almost start there, though, because that's not continuing from the previous. So what follows seems to be set, the tenor of it seems to be set by this Joseph form. Unless you want to start over in verse 28 there. But then you just got an imperfect form there. No, just a perfect form. Well, I guess that would be a continuing a series starting with a Joseph. I suppose that's what you've got. You're continuing with converted perfects from there on out. Picking up the same sense that the justice started. I think that's what we'd end up with.
So we did up in front of verse 29, we translated that the form of the Hayah.
Mm-hmm.
Future, we translated so that your eyes may be open.
Right. Yeah, that's just picking up from the previous verse there. You kind of start off with your finite verb. And that's not part of a series, of course. That's just kind of a resultative clause. And then as you continue there, okay, that your eyes may be opened, this place. Okay, you don't get another verb until verse 30, and then you still have a converted perfect there. And this verse 28, you have the ooh there, but don't be thrown by that. That's because of the pay. Being a labial. So it would have been would, but it's ooh. So they're converted perfects that you're continuing with. So that seems to be the sequence, starting with adjusive and then converted perfects.
Okay, but does that qualify then for that series or doesn't
it? Let's go back and look at that.
Yeah,
what page do you have the page?
119.
Yeah. Yeah, that, well, see, those are continuing in imperfects.
Imperfect.
Yeah, those are actually continuing in imperfects without the converted value, so that really wouldn't fit what we've got. It's probably more akin to we don't really have one exactly like this. It's more akin to be, the imperative plus perfect. I think it's more akin to that. It's not actually an imperative form in this case. It's a justive form, but it's really got the same effect as an imperative. It just happens to be justive because you're saying, let your word be confirmed, and the word is the subject of it. But it really is a petition to God. It's very, I think it would have to be analogous to the B series here. But it doesn't really fit into any of these categories precisely. Okay, so we learn a little bit every day here. Another little feature, ramifications things. Okay, verse 44. Who's up next? Bryce?
He, Yase, Amaka, Lamil Kama, Al, Oyebo, Aderek, Asher, Tishlah, Kim.
Okay, and get conditional clause here. Consider this key as if it's translated if, and it's introducing a conditional.
I'm going to win. How about
Oh, well, let's see. Let me think. When you prefer to battle. That in this kind of a context, that'll even work in English. Yeah, it still makes it a conditional, though.
Yeah.
This is still the process of a conditional, so. Either if or when.
When your people go out to war against its enemy,
mm-hmm.
in the way that you will send them,
mm-hmm.
and they pray to Yahweh toward the city that you chose and the house that I built to your name.
Okay. And then the apodosis is coming, verse 45. Okay, good. And if when your people shall go to battle against its enemy, and it's referring to people, using the singular there, against its enemy, in the way that you will send them, and they pray to Yahweh toward the city which you have chosen, and to the house which I have built for your name. And verse 45 gives you the apodosis. And again, this, remember, there are some decisions that have to be made as to where you separate the apodosis from the apodosis in these. Because what you're really doing is you start your apodosis with an imperfect here, ki yetze, and then you're continuing it with converted perfects. Wahif palalu is a converted perfect. And so you could consider that, you know, and they use converted perfect also. They use a perfect to show the beginning of the apodosis. So this point came up earlier. You sometimes have to make a decision on the basis of context as to where you're going to make your pause and stop one and start the other. Because, and part of it's just what makes sense. It's not so much if your people go out to battle against its enemies, then in the and in the way that you will send them, then they will pray to Yahweh toward the city. And then if you make your hypothesis there, then you'll have a problem with verse 45. How does that fit in? So you kind of have to do it with the semantics of what's going on. So verse 45 then will pick up your hypothesis. This is the then clause, as it were. And Doug, go ahead and finish it out. Asita, mm-hmm. Asita.
Yes, Father.
Okay.
Then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication. And, undertake their case.
Mm-hmm.
Make their own judgment.
Yeah, uphold their cause or something like that. Maintain their cause or their judgment or their manner. You got several options for the verb and several options for the object there. So, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain or uphold or do their cause or their judgment or their manner. In other words, come to their rescue and maintain their cause. Let's make this point. And you could take that as a mild imperative or just take it, then you shall hear in heaven. Just may take it as a future statement too, converted perfect. Okay, so either you're picking up on the previous mode that you've been already following with a kind of a mild imperative, or you can take this as a future. Then you shall hear. If your people go out, then you shall hear. But he's really praying. Since it's a prayer, he's asking for it. So I think you're better off to say, then hear in heaven their prayer. Question? Yes.
Is the name on the Shabbat that is implied that deliver them from the judgment or bring them out from the judgment?
Mm, no, that's just because it's a participle. It's a noun that's built from a participle, and that name, you got to watch that name. You know, it's an easy one to make a mistake on. But it's not the from min here. This is from the participle for Shabbat. verb and then mish, in the participle form that the noun is built from, it has the main. It's either from some passive participle or from a PAO participle or something like that, where you had the main. Because a noun for judgment is mishpat. It's just a noun. We probably had it listed as a noun too.
Oh, I thought it was shafat.
Yeah. Well, shafat is the verb, and shofet is a noun for a judge, and mishpat is the judgment, the thing that he judges, the thing judged. So it's probably a nifal participle, or you know, it's got a passive idea to it. So a judgment is a thing that was judged, and so they probably built it from a passive participle. Okay, questions, anyone else on that? Verse 46, back to John.
He yestu lak. He ain Adam Asherlo yekta wa anapta bam u nepatam. Disney oye ushabum shobehem el eretz ha oye lechoka o krofa.
Okay.
Because
might take the key as a when or an if again here. It's introducing another conditional. It's hard to know what though until you read it. You know, it's hard.
When they have sinned against you,
mm-hmm.
because there is not a man of the earth. Get it all in there, which has not sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Does not sin. Actually, even will not.
Could be. There's not. You could take it as a future. When they will sin against you, for there's no man of whom will not sin. Or you could take it as modal. When they sin against you, you know, stating that as a matter of fact. It's not if they sin against you, really, but when, in a way. But or if they sin against you, for there's no man that does not sin. Okay. This is the.
You become angry at them.
Yes.
Toward them.
Right, and you are angry with them, or angry toward them. Yeah, angry in them. You're.
And you give them before the face of their enemy.
Okay. Yeah, you give them up, or you know, give them up before the enemy, for the face to the face of the enemy. Yeah. This is a good phrase. What I've got here is their captors take them captive and lead them into exile. Now, Shavuot. I wonder if that's from Shavam or what. What verb? Lead into exile. Shavah. It's a three hay.
Oh.
Okay, that's the trick there.
Okay, so that's why that's
very. Yeah. Nifal passive. Okay.
So, then their exiles will
mm-hmm.
lead them into exile
mm-hmm.
toward the land of the enemy.
Right, their exiles lead them into exile toward the land of the enemy. Yeah.
Recognize
your
hope.
Okay, it's I don't know if we had this before or not, but it means far. Far, oh.
Far or near?
Near, yeah, far or near. In the hand of their enemy, far or near. Okay, and then more will follow here.
Is that a directed hail in the mm-hmm. toward far?
Toward the far word or near word, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just rachok and karov, just as the adjectives themselves. So when they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them up before an enemy, and their captors take them captive or lead them into exile to the land of the enemy, far or near. Okay. This is quite an apodosis here, or quite a apodosis. A long
set of conditions here.
Okay, then continue in verse 47. Tony, do you want to... Okay. Eric? Okay.
And they turn back to...
Yeah, they give you an idiom for it. They say lay it to heart or consider it. But it is a hifil form from return. So the idea is turning back to their heart.
Yeah, that's right.
They turn back to their heart.
They turn back for their heart in the land which they have been taken there, and they return, or they repent, and mm-hmm. make supplication to you in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and done iniquity and done evil.
Okay, good. Yeah, and if they lay it to heart, or literally if they turn back to their heart in the land where they have been taken captive, and they return and make supplication to you in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and done iniquity, we have, how'd you put it?
Done evil.
Yeah, done evil or acted wickedly or, you know, lots of different... You see, he uses a lot of synonyms for doing bad. So we've acted wickedly or whatever. Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting idiom there. To turn back to the heart, to cause the heart to turn back, cause to turn back the heart toward the heart. So it's cause something to turn back toward the heart. The idea of repentance and really laying it to heart. Okay, verse 48 then. Okay, his chananu. Yeah, blessing. Yeah, they've taken a return and make supplication. Let's see.
Well, they did have it.
Make supplication unto you. Yeah, return and make supplication unto you.
Yeah.
I think that's the one.
There's a
Tahan,
which is supplication.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It looks like Hanan in there, though.
It sure does.
I don't know. I just said,
yeah, what did we have? Well, I thought we had that verb here a while ago, and it seems like we did talk about that a little bit, what the connection was, making supplication. To implore for favor, I think. Isn't it the idea of imploring for favor? And so you get that idea of Khan there. I think this is the verb of making, yeah, okay, and... Yeah, tith kanin is the verb to seek or implore favor. So this is the verb form, to seek or implore favor. If they seek or implore favor, or, you know, if they make supplication to you, is the way it's translated here. They don't? It's on page 250 in your vocab list, second one on the list.
It's listed as an announced supplication.
Okay, and...
Tith kanin.
Okay, and, but they don't have the hay in the beginning of it. It's not built from the hifil then. The hifil verb, what we got here is the hifil verb form, because you got the hit in the front. You got the hay there. So this is the verb form, perfect verb form. From the second one on page 250 there, vocabulary lesson 50. Hithkanin. Yeah, chen was grace. So this is kind of reflexive, imploring grace. Oh, you looked at... Okay. Okay. Okay, well, that's the solution there. So make supplication, you could say, to implore favor. In the noun form was supplication, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the idea is to beseech for favor. That's what supplicating is all about. At least in Hebrew it is. Okay, any other questions? Okay, verse 48. Christ.
Washavu Eleka Makom Lavavam Uvakal Nafashan Laerit Oyevahim Oyevahim Asher Shavu Otan Uahiasa.
Yeah, his palalu, with his palalu.
A lekat, derek, haratam, the share,
nathata,
lahavosan, ha'ir, the share, bakarata,
bakarta.
Bakarta. Wahabaya, Asher, Vaneti, Krishneka.
Okay.
And they return to you in all their heart and in all their soul in the land of the enemies that captured them. And they pray to you. This is strange. I said, in the way of the land or toward
their toward their land.
Toward land that you gave to their fathers, in the city that you chose, and the house that I built to your name.
Okay. Yes. We're still in the Protasis. We haven't got to the Apotasis yet. We've got about three verses here of Protasis. And they return to you with all their heart. See, this is that whole big conditional. They get into trouble, and they lay it to heart, and they repent, and they return to you with all their heart. And here we are, verse 40. They return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive or captured them. And they pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Seems like he's really padding this thing, you know, and he's really giving them all the qualifications and everything, and he reminds them the house which I built for your name, the city which you have chosen, you know. You can see it's really designed here to appeal to the heart of God. Yes.
The share talk in which they captured them.
Oh, okay. The enemies who have taken them captive, who have captured them. Asher, Shavu, Otham. See, the Otham is them. That's the direct object. Yeah. So the enemies who have taken them captive. The who being plural, of course, because enemies is plural, but Asher doesn't make any distinction there. So the enemies who have taken them captive, or who have captured them. Okay, any other questions? I'll read that one more time. And they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive. And they pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Okay, now we finally get to the Apotasis in verse 49. And who's next? Doug? Asitha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not really familiar.
Yeah. Did you have that one the last time too? Yeah. That last phrase is last two words anyway.
That you're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The place of your dwelling. There
prayer. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, and that'll take their cause or maintain their cause, whatever. Okay. I think it's their prayer singular. It's om there, but it's their plural prayer singular. Gets kind of tricky. So their prayer and their supplication, both of those are singular nouns, but they have the plural suffix on them. I mean, they have the suffix for the third person plural, but the nouns themselves are singular. You get the tau there because both of them are three, you know, ending. Both those nouns end in a hey, feminine nouns that have to change to tau before the suffix. So, then here in heaven, the place of your dwelling, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, or whatever. Do their judgment, yeah. Make their judgment. Do their judgment. Right, yeah, you're still translating it as an imperfect, a converted imperfect. The only ambiguity you have here is that having to make the decision that your then is going to go here. Because all of these other verbs in the series have been converted perfects also. And you see, I think the idea is kind of this way in Hebrew. You know, the way, if you want to take it real literally, he starts out saying, when they come into the land and they do this and they do this and they do this and they do this and then you hear their cause and so forth. And they just string them all together as ands. In our minds, we're trying to make this a protasis and a protasis type of thing. They're just stringing them all these conditions hold. And of course, the last the condition that is God's response, you know, is I think you're picking up on this mainly by in terms of what they do and then what God does. And that's what's really giving your information as far as where to draw the line between the protasis and the apotasis, is that they do all this and then God does this. And sometimes even in conditionals in English we'll do this. We'll just say and, you know. And you do this and this will happen. And we don't say if you do this, then this will happen. We'll say you disobey the law and you will be judged. And we'll just put two things together in and, but because of the semantics and the meaning of it, we're definitely setting up a conditional. Okay. And that's not at all unlike what's happened here. All right, verse 50 then. Any other questions on verse 49? Okay, verse 50, John. One thing about this class being small, you all get much more experience at this than you would have otherwise. If you had, you know, 30 guys, you know, you could go through a whole hour and not get called on. And it may be a pain in some respects, but it's really forcing you to do more of this. And I can see the way that you're all reading the Hebrew, it's really having an effect. Okay, go ahead, John.
Ushalakta lam amka amka asher hat u lak ulakov.
Mm-hmm.
Asher Pashu Bak Unatam Napatam Narachamin Litne Shoveihem Warichamun.
Okay. Rechamun. That first verb there is a samak instead of a, I think you pronounce it a sheen. Salachta. Yeah, okay. It's easy to do.
We had shalach to
shalach. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And may you pardon, or may you grant for your people pardon,
mm-hmm.
For your people which sinned against you,
mm-hmm.
And for those granted the pardon for all their transgressions which they transgressed in you against you.
Mm-hmm.
And you may you give to them. I guess this would make them an object of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be give to them compassion before your face, before your face.
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
before
their captors.
Their captors. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Their captors, and I would say they find compassion.
That's a whole sentence in one word, and they have compassion on them. Got an optic suffix and.
So the captors would then.
Yeah. the captors you see, Rechamu, and then it's from Rakam there, Rechamu, and then you put the mame on the end, and that's your direct object suffix.
Yeah.
So, and they have compassion on them, the captors now. Okay. So, and forgive or pardon your people or show them grace or whatever who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions. You kind of understand the forgive again, because it's a kind of a double object. Forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which they transgressed against you, and make them an object of compassion, the way he rendered it, before their captors, and they have compassion on them. In other words, it's kind of awkward in English. Make them an object of compassion before their captors. You might almost have to say so that they have compassion on them, even though in English it's just continuing with the converted perfect. Let me see if we can find a way to justify that. I guess we can't really. But in English, you almost have to do that for our idiom. Make them an object of compassion before their captors, that they have compassion on them. You might say it that way. And that they have compassion on them or something. Yes, Tony, question?
I don't know if I even missed it or what, but why is there a method without a method that stands by itself? Several words come to the
Oh, yes, okay. You're talking about this last word here?
Last word there.
Yeah, under the meme. Yeah, I think he's using this either for pause or for this natural. He mentioned that he was only going to use, he wasn't going to use the Afnak even, I think. He was just going to use this last one. And what did he call it? Saluk?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually a Saluk. I wish we could find that. It's one of the recent chapters. Yeah, it'd be good to take a look at it, just to review it here. The Afnak is the one that looks like a little... Yeah. Well, I know what's in here someplace. That's the one problem with Lambden, it's kind of hard to find things. 202, okay, I was going the wrong direction. Yeah. Okay, Afnak and Saluk. So he said, let's see, at the bottom, yeah, page 201, you see what they look like. Puzzle forms. And the Afnak looks like that little, well, some of them you see it, I don't know how to describe it, looks like a little Russian mosque or something. Those Russian minarets or whatever. Yeah. Or a Dairy Queen ice cream cone or something. Okay, and then the second sign, similar to the method, called Saluk, followed by Sof Pasuk, marking the end of a verse. And so you see your Sof Pasuk there, the two big dots, that stop the verse, and then the Saluk is just before that. So just indicating it's paused at the end there. Okay, that bell didn't ring yet, did it? It's going to ring any second here. Any other questions on this then before we move? Yeah, tomorrow we'll finish up this and we'll get into... So don't forget to bring a... Does everybody have a text of some sort you can bring? Either a snake or... Yeah, you can borrow one from the library if you want. Yeah. Oh, there are? There's at least one snake there, too, in the grad room. Okay. The class is small. If you don't... bring it with you, you can borrow one. Okay, we'll stop there and then finish this up tomorrow and get into Genesis 1. You can see this last translation exercise is more difficult, more challenging than the previous ones. But not all the stops.
That'd be a good one. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There's a manuscript question. Between me when he appears and him when he appears.
So Song of Solomon would be an interesting one to look at, especially in view of the fact that you've got conversation shifting back and forth.
Yeah, that's a
fair that's going
to
get
you. Anybody ever decided who is talking to
you?
That's a tough one.
Even if you translate in English, you know, even after the translation, you get a lot of decisions to make on that one.
That's true.
No. There are times when you know, you just have to give possibility both ways.
Not easy.
Okay.